Blog Talk Radio.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You have found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Nat King Cole kicked it off on a Sunday evening. As we are entering the season, it should be jolly. Christmas, Xmas. Christmas has a very important part in Christmas, not what people think. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network, live earlier at MetLife. Had a different approach. So, you know what? Been here live and then broadcasting the Giants have lost. I'm not broadcasting to see what happens. For a while, I think that wasn't going to work. But a tremendous drive, the Bears put together two fourth downs. And then a trick play to get back into the end zone. They got down to the locker room. So busy being down that high locker room, though. Wow. Giants win in overtime. And you think how big that win could have been had they won last week. The game they had, man, it would have beat the Eagles. A victory number two and a division victory. Then it came out there instead of 3-8, 1-7. They win today. They're 5-7. Cowboys coming up. They go to Washington next week. They're going on to Washington. They're 6-7. 6-7. See what happens. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. And got a chance to talk to Carl Banks today. He has the same birthday as my dad. Interesting. Perfect theme, though. Day was somewhat alike to a certain degree. Compare last weekend. Let's lose again. Packers fire their coach, and maybe Jets coach is right behind him. Yeah. Up to Jamie Harris, who jokingly. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. Let the music finish. Cool in the gang at the time of Jazzettes. Start of the Jazzettes. And we'll pray, and then we go on our way. In this abbreviated edition, abbreviated, but a little shorter than normal. Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. Gonna go down to Cowboy Land too. Bill, me and Zach is here with us too. Doc Stanley is Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Open up Sports and Depth with a player. John Coltrane, discover a Miles Davis, leads us in prayer with Dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you for last night's lying down, this morning getting up. And the mother said, clothes in our right mind. Thank you, Lord, for shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, food on our table. More importantly, Lord, we thank you for another day. And for what happened a long time ago at Calvary. A debt paid that wasn't made. Made us all free. Well, thank you, Lord. And we ask these blessings and all the blessings in the name of your darling Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What we're going to do, too, real quickly, before we jump, because there's one more Christmas song for you. And this is my favorite by a female. I think it's a classic. You heard Natalie Cole? If you heard Nat Cole, this is his daughter, Natalie Cole. Growing Up Christmas Wish.
Well, I'm all grown up now. Can you still?
My grown-up Christmas wish, and the Jets wish they knew how the whole lead. 16-0 at one time, 9-point lead in the final quarter didn't make any difference. They lost again, 22 for them, 26 for the other team. 26 is more than 22, six straight losses. They committed a season-high 11 penalties. Wow. Packers fired their coach, Mike McCarthy, as they lost today. And how far can Todd Bowles be not behind? My goodness. Giants in overtime. Game looked like they were going to blow. The Bears committed, completed 2 fourth down on the final drive to tie the game up. And the coach is very smart. They got down there, and they couldn't get in the end zone. And he knew he needed a field goal and a touchdown. He got the field goal. And he came back and got the touchdown. But the Giant kicked a record 57-yarder, and he's kicked the most 50-yard field goals in the history of the NFL. I got to pin his name here. So the Giants win. They go to Washington next week. Still got a chance to maybe have the 500 season, but you think about what would have happened had they pulled out that game last week against Philadelphia. That would have been a win in the division, that had been another win, and they would have beat the Super Bowl champions. Odell Beckham threw a 49-yard touchdown pass and caught a touchdown pass today. Sean Barley got a chance to talk. I got to talk to Dusty, too. I think Dusty already knows that he's Barkley's nephew. We got a chance to talk to him a little bit. He talked a little about a great young man. You know, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. The Rangers retired number 11, Vic Hatfield, tonight. They, like the Jets, 3-0 lead, didn't mean anything. They lost. And now the once hottest team in football, in hockey, have lost three of their last five. They continue to go down the drain. Bill from Texas there. How about them Cowboys? That was a tremendous football game. Dusty, I thought about you, Dusty. I thought about you, and you know, you've never been a guy to go away from fundamentals. You've never been a guy to go away from the purest and the simple and yet the basic things of basketball. But I had never seen you so elated. You talked about the power of Wilder. And it seemed, after the first time when he dropped Fury, that in the 12th round he was going to do it again. Dusty, what happened?
Hello?
Yeah, Dusty, yeah. What happened there? I mean, Fury got up.
Fury got up. Oh, I don't know. Did you just call me? No?
Yeah, he did to call the show, little Pete. Or you call the show.
Oh, the phone rang. I don't. Fury run 9 rounds of this freaking lopsided fight. I told you a long time ago that Wilder was nobody.
Dusty, not only did you say that, but you said the one thing that made him was the ability to hit. And, I mean, Dusty, Fury, I guess he can take a hell of a punch. He's a big guy. He can take a hell of a punch, I guess, huh?
Yeah, he could take a punch. And Wilder, all he has was a cinder block right hand. Do you know that I counted 75 missing right hands and 30 left hooks missing? So you total what he threw at Tyson Fury, who lost art, bobbed the weave under those bombs. Now, how did he get up? He got up the way S.S. Cunningham, when he dropped him 3 years ago in Madison Square Garden, and he took a 9 count and got up and beat S.S. Cunningham. He did the same thing in the 12th round. I said, oh, this guy's finished. He got up. He started rolling around in the six count, got up. Thank God Reese didn't panic and let him get up. And he beat, and he got up by the ninth count.
Back. Can you talk about that one more time, ladies and gentlemen? Just to think about Sports and Depth, you know, the absolute best. Can you talk about that, because that was a tremendous moment that could have sealed it. You know, Wilder would have won the fight. Can you talk about the experience, the expertise, and the ability of the referee not to stop the fight at that time?
Yes, well, he was counting. Reese turned out to be one of the better referees anyway. Besides that, he counted, he saw the man, his eyes weren't glazed. In fact, you know what I think? Tyson Fury was resting. I don't think he was hurt. He was resting. And he rose up at 6, gets up with that lumbering body of his. Reese looks at him and says, you want to continue? I said, sure. Sure, I can continue at 9 count. And you know how strong this dude was. If you saw that right after that, when Wilder came to knock him out, Tyson threw a right hand that staggered Wilder, stopped him in his tracks. And to me, that would have been, instead of a 10-8 round, to me that would have been a 10-9 round, because Tyson came back and staggered and pummeled Wilder in the 12th round.
It's not remarkable to me, okay? I'm not amazed or taken back by your expertise and your intellect. It's just remarkable to me how people don't see that. And you're talking about a so-called 10-8 round being just a 10. You know, people talked about the 15th round, Ali Frazier. They said, you know, Joe knocked Ali down, but Ali got back up and won that round.
Absolutely.
And you're saying the same thing here with Tyson Fury. He got Wilder's attention with his own right hand, and even though he lost the round, it wasn't a 10-8 round.
It wasn't a 10-8 round. It was because he came back and staggered and slapped Wilder around. Now, this is amazing, and people don't seem to understand that. And the fact of the matter is that I gave only Wilder one other round, which I was going to call even. But then I realized that Wilder had hit him a couple of telling punches, so I gave it to Wilder. I only gave Wilder the one round and the two that he earned of the knockdowns. Now,
hey guys, question.
The fact of the matter is here is that people don't seem to realize that Wilder is an inept fighter who is lucky to have one hand
that could destroy people. Now, they
and Mark Breland in his corner too, Dusty, and it seems that
Mark,
the consensus is
Mark Breland,
he's no longer listening to his corner.
Mark Breland is a lost cause. I'm sorry to say that. I love the guy. Nothing. He kept saying, you jab and throw the right hand and jab and keep moving. What kind of goddamn instruction is that when your fight is getting whipped? Okay. and the thing that made me angry is the fact that they were criticizing a Roy Ching, the Mexican judge, who called it a draw, but nobody said anything about the inept idiot who gave it to Wilder. Both. Yeah.
I was saying, we're going from head to worse. Doc Stanley, Sports and that Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God, and Network. It's Wilder and Fury, in a Fury that a lot of people thought the Wilder lost. We got also. Well, I was looking for Bill to come back. He just left again. I got GW Mike. GW, did you catch it last night?
Yeah, I was actually watching the news.
Mm-hmm.
What were you talking about? That circus that was on last night?
Tyson and Wilder.
Oh, the circus. The circus.
Well, the proposed heavyweight. The one. I tell you what it did though. It made for a rematch.
Let me ask you a question. Can we talk? I know we all have to search for material at this point in our careers in boxing. But
read my column, Mike.
I'm going to read your column because I
want you in the future to do when you come on, bring the column and read it for us. Let everybody else here across the world and country hear the column too. The Dusty is the box editor of
Black
the one and only.
And you know
Black Star News,
now,
he's been there for
Tyson
a while. Not as boxing, right, Dusty?
I picked Tyson to win.
You've been the boxing editor about four or five years now?
Huh?
You've been the boxing editor of Black Star News about 4 or 5 years now, right?
I've been hanging with you since 9/11, but I've been doing 6 years of Black Star News, yeah.
Came in there and put them on the map, took them ringside and took them into the boxing world, an avenue they had never traveled into, and nobody better could have done it. GW Mike, one more time here, ladies and gentlemen. The Giants won today in overtime. The Jets lost again, 6 straight losses for them. The Packers fired their coach, Mike McCarthy, as they lost again.
Why? Because they lost? That's stupid.
But you know, Dusty, when I looked at the Packers' record, man, they were 4-6-1. They were 4-6-1. I said, "Why?" You know, when I looked, I said, "Wow, 4-6-1." So now they're 4-7-1. And you know, Walt Frazier had a great line. Walt Frazier said, "You know, you can't fire the team, so you fire the coach." I was talking to Jamie Harris. Trying to get him a joint from Amsterdam News. He talked about, you know, and you talk about so many things when you're sitting there with some of these guys like that, some of the elite sports writers of mine a lot of time. He talked about how Walt Frazier. Walt Frazier was talking about the first time he played against Will Chamberlain, and he was running down the floor, and Chamberlain said, "Hey, what's happening, Clyde?" He was like, "What? Will Chamberlain knows my name? Will Chamberlain knows who I is?" And we were talking the other day when the Knicks were playing in Philly, how, you know, Wilt was such an inept free throw shooter when they took away his free throw ability, which you'll talk about. And he talked about, he said, you know, well, my first year in the league, he said, Will Chamberlain missed more free throws than I made.
Yeah.
But did you see
that history of the NBA shut up and dribble? They were talking about that. They were talking about how they found a rule regulation for slam dunk and certain ways of black ball players were playing, which overshadowed the other players.
Chamberlain talked about, people don't notice, you know, the reason why you can't go past the free throw line when you shoot a free throw, because Will Chamberlain used to dunk all his free throws. And when they said, "Whoa, okay," so they implemented the rule where you couldn't go past the free throw line anymore. Then they widened the lane. The lane was a lot smaller, and he was so dominant, they widened the lane. And then you know how a guy will pass, a alley-oop pass to somebody to dunk? Well, when Guy Rogers did that to Chamberlain, they outlawed that, said that was guiding the ball in the basket. Chamberlain in 97 told Michael Jordan, "They changed the rules to stop me, and they changed the rules to help you." And there's still those who say, when push comes to shove, Wilt Chamberlain is the greatest center of all time and quite possibly the greatest player of all time. Only two guys in the history of the NBA ever averaged over 20 points and 20 rebounds in a game, career. The only two guys with 20 rebounds lifetime is Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell. Chamberlain only got average over 20 points and 20 rebounds his whole career.
Yeah. All right. Doc.
Yeah.
I just read, I got a, what do you call it, those emails, that Donna Stevenson is in the hospital critical condition. He got knocked out last night.
They upgraded him to fair condition now.
Oh,
he's
thank God. Thank
he's,
God,
he's
because he took
a
beating.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been in there, dude. He's too old now, man. He's just, you can tell it's not
41.
His age. Yeah, no, it's not his age. It's just he looks older. His body's not the same. He looks weaker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could just tell. I feel bad because I like him. You know what I mean? He's a nice guy, dude. He's a humble champion.
Yo, what do you think, Mike? Do you think the Badu Jack beat him instead of calling it a draw?
I got to be honest with you. I feel horrible saying this because I'm a sports writer when I want to be. I didn't know. It's just to me, Bodo Jack is, you know, I watched that fight with him and Big Gal. These guys, it's at a point now where I can't even take it anymore.
Yeah.
The skill set and the way that they give these guys shots, you know, there's so many more people that deserve that. More than he did.
Yeah, well.
It's getting bad. I mean, we're in a bad position right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the fighters. Like last night to me was just that was just the epitome of power.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys, they talk more than any generation of fighters that I've ever seen. Did you see what Jermell Charlo did to the kid Jarrett Hurd last night?
Oh, come on. That was Bush League stupidity.
Classless, man. But that's classless.
He's an asshole, man. He and his
classless.
Brother are a bunch of assholes.
You've long talked about, you know, I don't know, Howard West, you know, guys who think they're right and then they can fight and they're neither.
The
problem is that this is what people don't understand. Is these guys, they don't really, like this kid Jarrett Hurd, right? Let's look at this for a minute. I want to try to follow me, and I want to try to finish this.
Go ahead.
You know, you guys can maybe help me out if I don't know what I'm saying, but. Here's the thing. Now you see Tyson Fury last night.
Yeah.
I like everything about Tyson Fury as a human being. Like I just found out.
So do I.
He's dedicating $10 million of his purse to people and homeless people. My son just read it. I don't know how true it is, but.
Wow.
No, stop.
Hold,
I know I like that.
Hold
no, and you know what? This is why you listen to Sports in Depth, because you hear things here.
That's only the
beginning.
Let me finish.
Yeah. Okay, just calm down. Calm down. Now we'll continue. Go ahead.
I just want you to know. I want to tell you the full breadth of it.
Yeah,
so,
go ahead.
The thing is now, this guy does that. Okay, after the fight with the press conference. We watched the press conference after the fight.
Right.
This guy was so humbling towards Deontay Wilder. But you could see that this guy was really religious. Everything about him. Was really, really, he was very, very happy. He was very, very thankful for him. And he said something that made so much sense. And this is what people don't understand. He represents every way, shape, or form that British fans are.
Yeah.
They're really, really, really happy, and they're prideful for their athletes. They get reckless if something goes wrong, and they will burn the place to the ground. He said straight out. One of the writers asked him, said, why do you seem like you're happy with a draw? He goes, no. He goes, I'm happy with a draw. I'm not happy with the draw at all. I'm just trying to stand up and be professional because there's 10,000 people that came here from Manchester. And if I put a stink about it, they would burn this place to the ground. And for him to acknowledge that as a professional and to take that into his own consideration, that's a man. You know what I mean? That's a guy that's a sports athlete. So now,
well,
when you look at those. Yeah.
Mike, he said it at the post-ring fight, post-fight in the ring, and he was hugging and kissing Wilder, and this is a great man, a great champion. I'm happy that we both came out unscathed, and we could go back to our families. And this man really, really, I sat down in utter amazement.
Yeah,
and Barry Gray asked, well, did you think you Of course I won. But what am I
There's
to quibble?
There's only one thing. There's only one thing about him. He can't fight. The only thing that sucks, he's a horrible fighter.
And Marion Boykin talked about this, how the British fighters really see their endeavors in the ring as a sport, as opposed to Americans as, survival. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's something that they do as opposed to something that they have to do to, exist.
Yeah, but, Doc, he did enough. His jab, his right hand.
No, Dusty, I'm not talking about the fight. I'm just talking about their mindset into boxing.
Yeah, the mindset.
Boxing
right,
is something
right.
that
and
they
Doc,
do as opposed
Doc,
to
Doc.
Here, you know,
Doc,
it's something
the
they have to do
to,
you know,
to
survive, all
that
sort of stuff.
That's the point I wanted to make is what I'm trying to tell you is, now, you see, that he's the representation of that type of British fan base. You know, they're like soccer hooligans. They love to party, you know. They love to dance. Like we're big soccer fans. Today I was at a Liverpool soccer club where my son lived in Liverpool. I know how they're very sports oriented. They love being part of that. You know, it's a party to them. Now, American athletes, if you go back to our heyday when our athletes meant something, not that they don't mean nothing now, but guys that are really, really that were cut from American cloth, they were the ones that they were collegiate. Stand up, and they let their actions speak louder than words. And, you know, you guys like Joe Louis, guys like Henry Armstrong, guys like Jack, I say not so much Jack Dempsey, even Marciano, got any ethnicity, they were all the same from that era, that heyday of boxing, 50s, 60s, 40s, 30s. Even Leonard and Hagler, those guys were quiet. They didn't talk a lot of shit.
Right.
And the thing was, they never talked about what they did for the public either. Like, now you look at Jarrett Hurt. That guy, I earned so much respect for that guy. That guy is jogging. They showed him standing in the background looking at the statue of Martin Luther King, then running around
the
monument.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he's getting invited to the Washington Redskins thing. This guy's not over here trying to push his brand on anybody. He's just doing the things that you're supposed to do as an athlete.
A humble athlete. Yeah,
humble
you're right.
Athlete. Exactly. Yeah. A humble athlete. And now, meanwhile, this idiot gets in the ring and he's like a total, but listen, he's like a total classless clump. That's exactly what he did. And you start pulling that not even real gangster shit. It's just garbage. It's an act that left the Bronx 30 years ago. It's like an Italian coming to yell at you with a jogging suit talking about I'm in the mob, dude. It's horrible. And you get in the ring on national television, and the kid looked at him like, what? The kid didn't want to fight. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, dude, really? I'm the champion. Like, that was just, to me, those guys, and it's him. It's Adrian Broner. Well, even Deontay, I got to be honest with you, I lost so much respect for Deontay Wilder. You know, blasting that dude, Raheem, like the way he did. I understand, you know, there's ways to do things. I understand Raheem should have been much more, how would I put it? Raheem should have been much more
aware. Respectful athlete, you're trying to say?
He started hitting him with the 400 years that people have been enslaved and stuff. But can I be honest with you? Listen, everybody's aware of the struggle, and we all feel that. We know what's going on with the black movement. But at the same time, there's nothing for him to be talking about. There's nothing in this fight that brought up anything about that part of life.
Exactly.
Right. So for him to blast Raheem about that, man, you're trying to create something out of nothing. And you know what? If you're really prideful and you're doing something for your people, you need to get out there and start some youth organizations.
Exactly.
Go out there and take pictures with the people. Don't try to blast your own people for that because the guy's a sucker. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Like Mike, question. Yeah. Is it true that Wilder got a $20 million? Price last night. That's what I heard.
I heard it was between 15 and 20 million.
Wow.
That's what I heard. I don't know the fact, but I heard it was between. Listen, they made big money, and you know what? Let me tell you something. They're going to make bigger money for the rematch.
Yeah. Wembley
and
Stadium.
It's like watching Jerry Cote fight. It's like watching Jerry Cote fight. It's worse than watching. That guy, Bill Buckner. No, what's his name? What was the fighter? Oh, God, I keep getting mixed up with the baseball player.
What fighter? You talking about the one that Bill Buckner, you're talking about the guy that fought Ali?
Yeah, who's the guy that knocked Ali down? The guy that
Cooper, you know?
Jersey.
The heavyweight, the bleeder. Great story. Chuck Webner.
Webner
could beat both these guys. This
is how awful this is.
I mean, but Deontay Wilder, seriously speaking, this guy, you know, when you talk to this guy, he tells you he doesn't have to run. He doesn't want to learn how to throw a jab. Like,
yeah.
Dude, you're not that. Like, who in the world? And then you say Mike Tyson. Who did Mike Tyson ever beat? What kind of person does this? Can you imagine Joe Louis ever saying that about Jack Johnson? Muhammad Ali is different. Muhammad Ali is, you know, he's a one of a kind. He backed his shit up, so we can't say nothing about Ali. Ali gets a pass before everybody, you know?
Exactly.
But, I don't know. I just can't believe boxing has become, it just became such a knucklehead sport. And the thing that aggravates me, these athletes are, I've never seen them, a group of guys acting the way they're acting. It's such bullshit.
They never spend the time to learn the craft, Mike. They never spend time. You know, I looked at Tyson.
They can't learn the craft when they have the people to teach them. I mean, that's one of the big problems too.
No,
I mean, because you know, today's society, nobody's going to say.
Right.
I bet you couldn't ask. You couldn't ask any fighter today. Who is Walker Smith Jr.? And they look at you like you're crazy. That's no sense of history.
Scott, listen to me. I wrote for a fucking newspaper.
Watch the profanity, Mike. Calm down.
I'm sorry.
Finally, show. Go ahead.
It was an accident. You got my wife here yelling at me, Doc. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hey, know what? Reason understood.
All right. So listen. I know. Calm down, sweetheart. I get upset when I talk about this. But the bottom line is, I wrote for a newspaper for 8 years. Okay. And it's in my small state, it's probably one of the biggest three newspaper outlets. And I was given my own ride. I was more of a collaboration. And I was allowed to put my own stuff up there. They didn't even edit my stuff. So the point that I'm trying to make is, how in the world do I go to a press conference? I'm a seasoned writer who's been doing this for 10 years. And then all of a sudden, I ask a question. And I get chewed out by a fighter. I get chewed out like the guy literally almost fucking fight me. Dusty. Then after that, some internet troll who decides to call himself a writer calls me a fan.
You know, it's remarkable. I remember at one time, Dr. Teddy's posted that Blog Talk Radio Trusted Government Network. Joe, we're going to wrap it up in another 10 minutes. When internet was seen as unprofessional. Seen as an avenue that they weren't going to respect, an avenue that sports journalism didn't go down. And then when Michael Katz, who started out with the Times, which no longer does boxing, and went to the Daily and left the Daily News and went on the internet, all of a sudden it became a viable and an avenue of professionalism. The problem is the accessibility of it and the allowance of just about any and everybody to get on is hoarded with a whole bunch of people who have no clue. And as I state Exhibit A, that thing you're talking about that was put on by you talking to the Charo brothers. And it's just the words of Harold Weston said and touching.
Yeah, the Charo brothers jumped all over Tim Smith in front of me. I said, well, what's wrong with these suckers?
Dusty, when was that?
I know it was the last year's press conference, and they were that was the round robin of the middleweight titles. There were three junior middleweight titles.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
And they wanted to interview them, and they jumped all over. I don't feel like talking.
Tim said to me, why did you get them riled up?
Serious?
All I asked him, Doc will tell you. He said to me, I asked him, are you signed with Golden? He goes, Nestor goes, what color hair did they have? I know that Oscar De La Hoya was the one that was he was the one that was promoting.
GW, because I got my man from Texas on the line, Bill McCray. Bill, how you doing, man?
Hey, it's all good. How's everything back there in New York?
That's good. You see that them Cowboys are starting to rock and roll. I know you're not a Cowboy fan, but they put together three big wins, especially that one this past Thursday when they beat the Saints 13-10 and held them. I guess a big buzz down there is now about the Cowboys, huh?
Yeah, that's why I can't stand them. It's like once they get a win, that's all you hear about all week long.
How about the Cowboys?
Well, they won three in a row. They beat the best team and the hottest team in football. They lead their division now. They're up their lead to 7-5, and the Giants play the Redskins next week. And I think the Giants got a good chance to beat the Redskins, and that would even up the Dallas lead. Dallas will end the season here, Bill. They'll end the season here playing the Giants. So right now things looking pretty good. As that classic line is, how about them Cowboys? They're doing about nicely, Bill.
Yeah, the way that division is, you can come out with an 8-8, and that'll pretty much wrap you up on the top
You're
of
right,
the division.
Right.
Because,
I mean, last week the Giants went down to Philly. They went in there 3-7. Had they come out there 4-7, they'd have been in second place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've been talking about the fight,
today,
Bill. Did you see the fight last night?
Nah.
Well, don't worry. According to everybody, I think you didn't miss anything. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Harold Wilson, did you see
it?
Which one?
Dag, Harold, that's enough said. We're talking about Harold. How can you say that when they had the heavyweight champion of the world fighting last night, Harold?
Well, that's what I'm saying, but they had the other fight, too.
Donovan Stevens.
Fight.
You know, he's in the hospital.
He's in the hospital. He was in critical condition, but now GW Mike said that's been downgraded to serious. So, and people understand, you know, how getting in that ring. It ain't no joke.
He's in an induced coma. He's in an induced coma right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
He got hit pretty. I watched the knockout last night.
Yeah.
He got hit pretty hard. And you know, I tell you something. I'm not a big fan of Scoop Malinowski.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing. I think he does a lot of propaganda writing. But when he does write, and it's he does a good column when he does write and he doesn't do the propaganda stuff. He's a really good writer. And he wrote something that made a lot of sense though. In a way. You know, I know he has a lot of biased opinions about Al Haymon, but he did make this comment, and he said, you know what? Al Haymon allowed Adonis Stevenson to fight guys of much less caliber for a very long time. And you know what? As a fighter, when that happens for you, you do two things. You build a false sense of security, and you're not able to, you know, dig deep. So now when you fight a guy like you fighting this guy, and now for Al Haymon to just throw him to the wolves like this because he knows he's done, at this age, this is the type of stuff that happens. You know what I mean? And I thought it was a pretty good – it was a very good analogy. You know, it's a very good point to get across.
Scoop was one of the guys
was the number one challenger. So he had to fight him, the mandatory challenger.
But at the same time, you cannot make – this is the problem with boxing right now.
Okay, what you're saying here is that he was on a diet of softies, which is Dusty has so redundantly said, you know, so many guys today have been fighting tomato cans. So
exactly.
It came to the
you
point –
You don't even know if guys are good.
Tomato can.
You don't even know if guys are good. You don't even know if a guy is good. This is what I keep trying to tell everybody. We all keep doing this. Everybody's like, okay, this guy gets his butt kicked. All of a sudden, this guy loses. Oh, my God. Oh, no, don't worry about it. We still got this guy. He's really good. Then all of a sudden, this guy fights. Oh, my God. The reason why they're not good, and it's funny that you said this. We were at the gym the other night, and there was a kid doing the mix. And the trainer who used to train with Don Turner, I said to him, I said, how come you don't look too excited about the kid that did the mix? They look really good. He goes, listen. He goes, Mike, until they get punched in the face, you have no idea what they're capable of. I said, so true that is.
Wow, you know, the great line that Marion Boykin said, how you measure how great a fighter is what he does after he loses and what he does after he gets off the canvas. And if I'm correct, Sugar Ray Robinson, when he lost to Jake LaMotta, he fought Jake LaMotta again the same month
five
and beat
times.
Him. He had a fight in between. We saw what Ali did when Joe put him on the canvas. But, you know, I think I tell you guys again, man, you guys are eagles dealing with caged canaries who are porcelain canaries. And so this constant acknowledgement of the lack of knowledge in today's sport is, I mean, boxing is one of the many across the board. I mean, it's just sad and touching. And Harold was in the gym that day. Harold's in the gym. He's telling the kid what to do. The guy told him, hey, what did the guy tell you, Harold? What did the guy tell you, Harold?
What do you mean when at the Leeson's
gym? He was down
gym?
There giving the guy instructions. What did the guy tell you?
Oh, I mean, what he was telling the guy was just ridiculous, but...
No, but what did he tell you after you told the guy the right thing to do?
Oh, I forgot now.
Yeah.
No, you told me that after you showed the guy what to do and everything, the guy told you was right, told you get out the gym. Don't come back.
Oh,
yeah.
That time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that these guys want law and master control over their pupils, even though they ain't teaching them crap. But that's...
Well,
that's
they can't teach them because they don't know anything. You know,
and they resent somebody going in there and teaching them the proper way. You know, that happens all the time. But, you know, guys don't know much. But you see, I admired Tyson Fury demonstrating a lost art last night, bobbing and weaving out of harm's way, man. I mean, you don't see that often anymore.
Well,
mindset of a great fighter is a guy who takes it, like the old Timex commercial. Remember that? My man Bill McRae. Remember the old Timex commercial? It takes a licking but keep on ticking?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, this guy was bobbing and weaving out of harm's way, and the inept Wilder couldn't even touch him. I mean, and Wilder was, I think he worked for Western Union, telegraphing that right hand and touching
him. Dusty, you wrong said that. The rest of the panel have said that Wilder's whole forte is he's athletic and he can hit. I mean, there's been long known no boxing skills. The thing that was advantageous to his corner, his ability to hit, and when he was listening in the early part of his career to an instruction and the tutelage of Mark Breland. Now it seems he's not listening to Mark Breland anymore. And we also send out our condolences to Mark. About a couple months ago, Mark lost his beloved mother. And other thing we're talking about is that, you know, Tyson Fury got up.
What?
And now the question is, I think only Fury could have did it. Nobody, I don't think anybody else would have been able to get up there, gentlemen.
He would not have gotten up. But you see, the thing with Wilder is that I saw the training camp. Mark Breland was not at training camp. It was the white guy that was always with Wilder. The only time I saw Mark Breland was in the corner last night. So I don't know what the deal is. And he was just, well, jab, you know, here's some water, and do this, and bob and weave, and throw the right hand. Where you, I said, what kind of garbage is that, man?
Validating
modern
the
day boxing.
What we see in the downhill side of Wilder. Gentlemen, hold on a second, because we may have to... Some studio situations. I want Larry O'Hyce to give us an out cue, and then we'll do a few things before we let it go.
Doc,
Giants win.
I have
lose,
a doctor's appointment tomorrow.
Rangers
so
lose.
Out the lead.
Both the Jets and the Rangers had big leads and lost them. The Giants came back after leading and won in overtime. Vic Hatfield, number 11, was retired tonight. One of the great Rangers that gag lined him. And Roger Bear, and there's another gentleman, they were called the gag line. They were good for a goal a game, G-A-G, a goal a game. And they retired as number 11 tonight. Rangers went up 3-0. They lost their game. Jets up 16-0, 9-point lead in the fourth quarter. Lost their game 26-22. The Packers fired their coach tonight, Mike McCleary. He's fired, so that's the end of that. He's going to be not... Long gone. He's gone. He's gone. So, and we got to figure that Todd Bowles is not too far away.
The end of the season, Todd Bowles.
You keep wondering. Is that you, Jump Shot?
I'm here.
Yeah, got to get you in there quicker. We're getting ready to maybe close it up.
The name, you're looking for, Doc, is John Vitale. The guy,
John.
John Vitale. Rod Gilbert and Vic Hatfield from the 70s.
Okay, thanks so much. Yeah, Vitale, yeah, gag, the goal of the game. I met Rod Gilbert at.
Okay, gentlemen, hold on. Let me let Larry Hardesty come in here. Larry, come on.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. as he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stamp.
Keep going. Mic on, lights off. G-Dub is here. Dusty's here. Double Barrel Howell's here. Texas Bill from the high. You know, yeah, I was talking to the guy the other day, Bill, and he didn't know that Boys mm-hmm. High at one time was all male. I said, man, you know, I went to the high when it was the high. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that Cy Hugo Green, who came out of Boys High, was the number one pick. He was picked. Remember, Bill? He was picked ahead of Bill Russell. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the high used to have some players.
Mel Davis, Elvis Webb, Lenny Wilkins. People thought Tommy Davis was going the wrong way when he became a baseball player. He was an All-American basketball player. And mm-hmm. Lenny Wilkins, who became the winningest coach in history of pro basketball and then was supplanted, but is still the winningest coach in the history of African-American coaches, and he's one of the 50 greatest players. So he's made an NBA, and it was Tommy Davis who talked him into it. I remember talking to Mr. Wilkins. I said, is it true that Tommy Davis was a guy that encouraged you to join, you know, said you could get a scholarship and stuff? He said, yeah. He said, Tommy was tired of me burning him in the gym. He said, that's why he encouraged me. He said, he was tired of me getting on him. But Lenny Wilkins from Boys High, Elvis Webb, Cy Hugo Green, Mel Davis, the great Aaron Copland, as a he was the guy who wrote the score to the music of the Magnificent Seven, and the greatest basketball player of all out of Brooklyn and out of Boys High, the late, now the legendary, mm-hmm. the Hawk, Connie Hawkins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now imagine, you recall the coach, Mickey Fisher?
Yeah, Mickey Fisher. Mickey Fisher, uh-huh.
Yeah. Imagine what he would have done that, had he not passed.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? The thing is, you know, in those days, if you couldn't dunk the basketball, you couldn't be on the Boys High team. If you couldn't dunk, Mickey Fisher didn't have you on the team. Now, he later was supplanted by a guy named Howie Jones, who was a great coach. And I remember Howie Jones used to say, because the teams were so good, he said, gentlemen, it's only news when we lose. And he had a great line, you know, you'd be in the gym doing such don't do that, son. That was Howie Jones. I think he went down to, I think he's out of A&T. Yeah. Yeah, Doc Sanders wasn't at Block Talk Radio, Trust in God Network. GW Mike is here. Dusty is here. Double Bow Howell, Jump Shot Jonesy, and our special guest tonight from Texas, how about them Cowboys, Bill McCray. Gentlemen, some last thoughts as we roll here. There's no question we're going to have a rematch here, gentlemen. No question, a rematch, and maybe they'll take it overseas. And
Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, is that a done deal, Dusty?
Oh, they're talking about Wembley Stadium, 90,000 plus. They already had about 17 and change in the Staples Arena.
And Dusty, so, Dusty,
they'll
have more than 17 and change the next time.
but then Tyson said, "What? I would like to fight in England." So I mean, you owe him that much. So go to England and Wembley Stadium, 90,000 plus. Ed Hearns runs Wembley Stadium with Anthony Joshua. So, I mean, what can you expect?
Can I ask you guys a question? Do you ever think we're ever going to see a real heavyweight champion again?
No. It's not there. It's not in the DNA. You don't have the teachers and trainers anymore. No, that's gone. The last great heavyweight champion we've seen from the sense of a champion, a guy that people followed, a guy that was always, like I said, you know, the heavyweight champ is a guy that you always know. When you pick up the newspaper in 1955, and they're telling you that Sugar Ray Robinson was at the game last night. You know, in 60, they're telling you Ali was at the rodeo. They're telling you Joe Louis was at the football game. They're telling you Sonny Liston was at the tennis match. You know, they're telling you that Floyd Patterson was out of shape. You always knew Mike Tyson what a heavyweight champion the world was. That's done. And that's due because of, like you said, the talent. And, you know, it's sad. It has to borrow the likes of Harold. I mean, it's not seen the same anymore. The guys, you know, it's done. It's done. Boxing's done. And it's across the board in sports in general. You know, you don't have – I mean, when you got the basketball, when you got – the simple thing in basketball, Bill, when you got a point guard and a shooting guard. In my day, how could you be a guard if you couldn't dribble and you didn't have a jump shot? How could you be a guard? How could you have one hand? Guard brings the ball up. Radley told me one time, we're going to run after this gentleman because we're having some the fact that they asked Oscar Robertson, were you a point guard or a shooting guard? I was a guard. He said, look at Indiana. Mark Breland banged the ball up, and then passes Reggie Miller who shoots it. Back in the day, you had Oscar, you had Wes, you had Lenny Wilkins, you had Monroe, you had Frazier, Phil Chenier, guards. And how can you be a guard?
Right.
You know, that's like saying you're tall and you're 5'6". You're not tall. You know what I mean? You're only tall among midgets. My goodness, Doc Sandy Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, Trust and Golf Network. Bill, thanks for joining us. We're having some troubles. I don't want us to lose our show. So we're going to Tyson Fury and Wilder draw. So that'll be a rematch. Jets lose again. Wow, surprise, surprise. Giants win. Surprise, surprise. Rangers lose again. Sort of surprise. They were the hottest team in hockey for a while. Vic Hatfield was on it tonight. Jump Shot Jonesy, what was the three guys on the gag line now?
Jean Vitel, Vic Hatfield, Rod Gilbert.
See, this shows you the intellect and the class and depth of sports in depth. This is an African-American telling you about three great Rangers that played in the 60s. I told you, I used to think my people were the best, but I'm wrong. They're the absolute best. And so often, sports in depth can turn into the world in depth. Gentlemen, we're going to roll. And we'll thank you all for being with us. We'll be back, of course, during the course of the week of next Sunday. Leave me with three thoughts. Service to others, you rent your pay for your room here on earth. Muhammad Ali. Life's most insistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Martin Luther King Jr. I am my brother's keeper, Roberto Clemente, followed by Nelson Mandela, and my brother comes in
it's
all colors. Bill, thanks for being with us, baby. How about them Cowboys? Jump shot, quickly, how long does Todd Bowles last?
Well, if they lose next week, he may be gone at the end of the game. But it's not the Jets' practice usually to fire coach during the season. But after seeing what happened to Mike McCarthy, Todd Bowles, you're going to see it. This season started with 7 black coaches. I believe that number's going to be cut in half by the end of the season.
Mm.
Wow.
He says only in America. Gentlemen, Dusty, tell everybody good night in Spanish real quick.
Feliz Navidad, everybody. Buenas noches. God bless, man. And hooray for Tyson Fury. That's my hero.
He's a funny dude, man. He definitely, his personality is great. The only thing
I'm telling you. God bless, everybody. God bless.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Close out with one of my favorite Christmas songs. It's The First Noel,
done by Howard Hewitt. Back to the Sports Net, Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Thank you.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Thanks for being with us. Mr. Cole, please, send us home.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Rosie, we miss you. Muito saudade. Fica com Deus.